the problem was it was 2005. So I'm talking to people and I'm like, hey, do you listen to podcasts? And they're like, do I need an iPod for that? I'm like, oh, geez, no, it's just the, you just need internet and the speakers, you know.
If you don't enjoy creating, why creating in the first place, right? And I think a lot of people start in a place of like, I'm just going to create because I need to, because everybody's telling me to do it for my business, because everybody needs to have a podcast, right? And then they forget that we actually have to enjoy the creation.
Cover the one topic, position yourself as an expert, and then move on to something else.
Do you make a conscious decision to build podcast real estate, or that has just been something along the way that you have created? And what has been the benefit of having your name in so many shows?
Every coach, every entrepreneur should have a podcast, and people go, of course you say that, you're the school of podcasting guy. But if you can come up with a schedule that you can match, then you're seen as reliable. And then anytime you can make a point with a story.
We've got some.
Hey, I'm Luis.
And this is Luis.
And welcome to the Content is Profit podcast.
In here, you're going to get the insights, accountability, and drive to create consistently and increase revenue.
You'll hear from top entrepreneurs, creators, and anything and everything you need to know about content. All this while having a good time.
The goal of this podcast is simple: entertain, educate, and turn your content into profit.
You might be wondering why am I laughing so hard. It's because Fossey cannot say this intro without reading it. It's like the 400th time. So I,
you know, that of the corner of my eye, I was checking to see if you were reading or not.
Was I reading? I wasn't reading. But anyways, if you're enjoying this show, guys, go ahead and follow in your favorite podcasting platform on YouTube, wherever you consume the content. We are there for you.
Wow, that is very nice. And if today's guest helped you move one step closer towards your goal, please don't forget to share this episode and leave a 5-star review.
That's right. We are back with another living legend in the world of podcasting.
That is right. He's actually a 2018 Podcast Hall of Fame inductee. So you know he's for real.
Woo, baby. Like, he's produced more than 800 episodes, almost 900 episodes according to this data. You know, he makes technical subjects easy to understand. That's, I raise my hand. I want that. You know, and like Fonzie said, you know, 2018 Podcast Hall of Fame inductee. He published Profit From Your Podcast, Proven Strategy to Turn Listeners into Livelihood. He's also helped hundreds of people with their podcast, probably way more. He's about to help us all.
That is right. Not to mention that he's a master guitarist. I might be butchering that word a little bit in there, but he blows everyone out of... It's insane. During podcasting events...
We need to bring that squeegee, Fonzie.
During podcasting events, he just throws the most amazing riffs.
Why do you ignore my joke?
Please welcome host of Cool Podcasting, the Van Halen of podcast conferences, the one and only Dave Jackson!
Oh my goodness. Gentlemen, it is an honor to be on the show today. Yeah, since you called me Van Halen, my name's Dave, okay? My brother would call me Ved, which is like the second half of David, and because it annoyed me. And so, like a true brother, you use the nickname that annoys you. And then that somehow, when in high school, people started calling me Vedward. Because I could play the guitar. And I was like, wait, what? No, it's Dave. So anyway.
Fun story.
It's an honor to be here, man.
Fun fact, people call me Fonzie because of my brother. And I used to hate the name Fonzie. I ended up embracing it and be like, right, I'm going to make it a marketing move, you know? But my brother brought it up to everybody here in the States because he knew I hated the nickname.
That's what you do. That's what good brothers do.
We lift you up. Yeah, to live up to your full potential. Dude, Dave, I'm super stoked. You know, we've obviously heard from so many people about you, and then we got to actually meet you in person not so long ago, and it was awesome. I think it was time. It was long overdue to bring one of the OGs in the space, and you know, the one and only Dave. So, you know, I'm curious, like, a lot of people that listen, right, they're either building their own businesses, they're starting to publish, they're experiencing, you know, those first steps in publishing, and even companies, right, like you can still call them first steps into that. What inspired you to actually start a podcast versus anything else?
Yeah, I already had a blog, but at the time, there are all these new technologies that would come along. Now, again, this is 2005, so it was a while ago, but I like missed the MySpace boat at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I just, things would come along. I'm like, oh, I should jump on that. And then it'd go by and I'm like, oh, wow, I kind of missed that boat. And so a friend at the time, people were saying membership sites are going to be like the next big thing. And then a friend of mine came back from a marketing conference and he said, hey, I just know I heard about the next big thing. I go, what is it? And he goes, podcasting. And I went to Google and I typed it and there was 1.5 pages. And I go, wait a minute, how do you spell this thing? I said, I think I just broke the internet. So I type it back in 1.5 pages. There was nothing about it. And so when I finally figured out what it was and kind of pieces parted one together and I upload my file and I see it come back down in my app, I was like, oh, I see what this is going to be cool. And so it was just one of those where I was like, you know, I've seen these things come and I always think I should do that. And then I didn't. And I was like, I'm going to do this. And so because they were saying membership sites are going to be big and podcasting is going to be big, I'm like, okay, let's put those two together and see what happens. But the problem was it was 2005. So I'm talking to people and I'm like, hey, like, do you listen to podcasts? And they're like, do I need an iPod for that? I'm like, oh, geez, no, it's just you just need internet and the speakers, you know? Yeah. So the first couple of years, which is why I was still basically, because I'd gone back to school to get a teaching degree. And yeah. So I was building websites for people. I was playing in a band. I was doing guitar lessons. Anything I could do to make some sort of side hustle as that slowly got off the ground.
Yeah.
So the early days were rough. But
podcasting was the side hustle to the side hustles, or were you doing the side hustles as your main thing and then podcasting was your side hustle?
That's a great question. It was kind of it was my main thing. It just, everybody was like, it's a what? And then you'd take 10 minutes to explain what a podcast was and they'd go, yeah, I don't want to do that. So yeah. it was really, really hard. So
interesting.
I think back then my big money earner was I was in a band that played like almost every weekend, and then building websites was another one too. So
that's cool.
But the other thing I did that was really stupid is I was like, look, I'm not trying to make this my primary income. I just need to make money for books and school and insurance and my phone. That's all I need, and rent. And so I said, you know, if I could get like 500 people to give me $5, this would be, you know, that's it. Yeah. So I literally launched it a $5 plan because I marketing was not my thing. And so finally, you need a good friend to tell you when you make a mistake. And a friend of mine, Marcus Couch, said, hey, Dave, I have a question for you. And I go, what? He goes, can you name something of value that you pay $5 for on the internet? And I go, no. And he goes, yeah, exactly. He goes, you have a perception problem. He goes, I understand that you're a people pleaser and you want to help as many people as you want. And so I moved it up to 20. And 20 was like, I started getting people to sign up. And I was like, that's really weird. You could have signed up, you know, 1/4 the price. But 20, but I would have people, my marketing plan was let people sign up. And then when people go, wait, how did you learn how to do a podcast? I had an affiliate program. And I'm like, they'll go, oh, just go learn from Dave. Here's my link. That was the plan. Yeah. Well, at $20, people would sign up, but they still wouldn't start a podcast. It was one of those, there wasn't, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, I'll do that later kind of thing. $20 wasn't really.
It wasn't painful, you know, enough for them to ignite action, right?
Yeah. So eventually I moved it up to 50 for the longest time. And that's when people would actually like, okay, let's get going with this. So that was some of the early lessons I learned when I first started out was like, A, look at what maybe your competition is doing when you're trying to do that. And also what are you solving? If the goal here is profit, you've got to be solving a problem for them typically.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm either going to save them time or money or headaches or something like that. Yeah. And so, yeah, that was one I learned real quick. I was like, oh, and I just thought it was so weird. I'm like, wait, I quadrupled the price and people signed up. I was like, didn't, but you have that perception of like, well, this can't be any good.
Yes, the power of perception and that kind of like psychology of pricing is pretty interesting. A term that I heard recently was meta creator, right? Which is pretty much the creator that talks about creating. And yeah. I'm curious. Back in the early days when you were an early adopter of podcasting, right? I mean, you were a pioneer in this space. Were you a meta creator? Was that a decision? Or you were having a podcast of other things? And then this kind of like people, just because they started attaching you as the podcaster, one of the probably one of the first ones in the space, right? They started to referring people back at you.
Yeah, it was interesting. My first podcast was about being a musician. And so I did that. And then, you know, I was like, you know what? I really need to make this membership site thing. And plus my background's in teaching. So I was like, well, I want to teach. So I started the School of Podcasting. And what was interesting is I had people from the School of Podcasting would go and listen to the show for musicians. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know you were a musician. And they're like, oh, I'm not. I just think you're funny. And I was like, wait, what? So that's when I realized the connection you can get with people. They come for the content, but they kind of stay for the host.
Yeah, and yes. So that's what happened with us. People keep telling me that I'm funny, and my wife doesn't believe me, man. You know, I don't get it.
Well, I always tell people when they go, you know, Dave, I like you. You're funny, and I go, looks aren't everything, you know. But it's one of those things where I always say to really get that connection going. And why it works, especially like every coach, every entrepreneur should have a podcast. And people go, of course you say that. You're the school of podcasting guy. But if you can come up with a schedule that you can match, then you're seen as reliable. And then anytime you can make a point with a story, then they get to kind of know you. So like this was years ago, but when I was growing up, Muhammad Ali was like one of my heroes because he was much more than a boxer. He stood up for what he believed in and great guy. So when he died, I was really bummed. But I'm like, well, I do a show about podcasting. So I said, here are like, whatever, 8 things you can learn from Muhammad Ali. It was like, number 1, really talented. Number 2, always promoted. Number 3, really unique. And I just went through. So I was still talking about podcasting, but I was talking it through the lens of my love for Muhammad Ali. So people kind of got to know me.
Yeah.
And I actually got emails from people like, hey, he was my champ too. So I'm seen as reliable. They're getting to know me. And then when you produce good content and people go, hey, I tried that thing and it worked. I got more downloads. Well, now they like you because it's good. And so it's the whole know, like, and trust thing. And when you say, oh, by the way, I've got a book or a course or consulting or whatever it is, they feel like they know you. I just did this. I was at an event and I listened to one of the co-creators of podcasting. His name is Adam Curry. And I listened to his show and he does a show with his wife. And I've met Adam multiple times, but I've never met his wife. And it was so funny because I was talking to her and I'm like, oh, this is so funny. And she goes, what? I go, I'm having that listener experience. I said, the voice of Tina Curry is coming out of your face. And I kind of know her through her podcast, but I never really met her. So it is that thing where they feel like they know you. And they kind of do if you've shared enough. So
I remember listening to My First Million and one of the co-hosts there, he was sharing how that's one of the epiphanies he's had as well, which is that cultish feeling around the host, right? That people relate, they come for the topics, but then they stay for the personalities, right? And we've talked about that here. Actually, we had an episode not too long ago where we did the whole meeting in here, meeting of the minds. We had the great Alex and Filippo in here as well. The town hall. And we talked about personality, right? So I'm curious, when you talk to somebody that you might feel that they're lacking some of it, or maybe they're not, you know, portraying, you know, their best characteristics on a podcast, something that would attract an audience and help them retain an audience. How do you approach that, right? How do you tell them, hey, look, either you're being boring or something? Like, how do you approach that?
Yeah, I usually did a study of myself. I said, look, every time I read something or listen to something or watch something, I'm going to write down what it was, and then I'm going to write down why did I watch, listen, or read that. Mm. And it came down to I watch, listen, or read things because it either makes me laugh or cry or think, groan. So if you've ever watched those things, you're like, I'm going to turn this on to see if this guy's still an idiot. And you're like, yep, still an idiot. Well, you're a fan. You just watched again. So laugh, cry, think, groan, educate, or entertain. And if you could do more than one of those at a time, then you're getting somewhere. So like, I love John Oliver on HBO Last Week Tonight because he's talking about information I can't get at other places. I should be. I always am like, why am I getting the best news from comedians? That doesn't seem right. And he makes me laugh. He makes me think. Sometimes he covers things. I'm just like, man, that is horrible. So it kind of makes me sad or makes me groan. But so there is that. And then it's really two things. It boils down to content and delivery is what I'm looking for. Yeah. So content delivery. And so you can have great content, but if you deliver it in a kind of boring way, I don't know, that's not going to work. And you can have the best content and you can have thousands of dollars worth of equipment and sound effects and it's not going to do anything. There was a movie back in the 90s, The Lone Ranger, and it was put out by Disney. It's Johnny Depp at the height of his Johnny Deppness. Yeah, he was like, you know, this is the whole pirate movie thing. And he's going on and it came out and the movie did like nothing. They spent like $261 million, I think, on it. Wow. And Disney's like, well, wait, more people don't know this is out. So let's put some more money on it. They had the Happy Meal. They had the posters, the action, whole nine yards. And I saw that movie. It was horrible. Absolutely horrible. So marketing will not save bad content.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the things in podcasting. I just had someone this morning. They're like, hey, I'm looking into growing my audience. And I said, have you ever done any kind of focus group? And they're like, what do you mean? I go, have you gotten feedback from someone who you feel is your target audience that's not named mom? And they're like, no. And I'm like, don't spend a dime marketing this until you figure out if it's working or not, because you're just lighting your money potentially on fire. And I get why most people don't want to do that, especially when you're brand new, because you just spent whatever 14 hours making this episode and you just want it off your plate. Like, I just want to get it out there. But it doesn't make any sense if it's not going to work. If you're trying to position yourself as an expert or whatever it is, you need to know your why. Why am I doing this? I need to know who I'm talking to, and then where they overlap is your what. What can I talk about that's going to hold their attention while getting them towards my why? And that's why podcasting is fairly simple. I mean, I could burp into my phone right now and it'd be an apple by the afternoon.
Yeah.
That part's easy. It's the how can I, you know, figure out who, what am I trying to do, and then who is it for, and then what can I talk about to hold their attention? So it's there are a lot of people like, oh, I'm just going to turn on the mic and have a conversation with my friend. And I get that. That's a lot of fun. Yeah. But a podcast, as much as people say it's a conversation, sure, it's a conversation with the boring parts removed. Because I see so many people, oh, we're hilarious. We make each other laugh. And then they're talking and you're like, oh man, Joe, remember the orange Gatorade? And Joe goes, and you're like, orange Gatorade? What? Because it's an inside joke. Yeah. So you got to keep that in mind. There's a difference between a conversation and, to a certain extent, performance sounds like a weird word, but you got to remember people are going to be listening to this.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I had this conversation yesterday with one of our clients, right? Like, he started as a business podcast type of deal. And then he's like, hey, Luis, can I actually interview you? We're kind of like the backup whenever there's no content. And we're like, sure, let's do it. And we jumped on at 8 at night last night. And the conversation started on the business side, but it continued to evolve a lot around, obviously, his personality and the conversations that he likes to have. Yeah. And we just went for it, right? Like, we actually, he did an outro, we stopped the recording, and then we continued the after talk. And I'm like, dude, Tom, like, this is the content that we need to be recording. So we start pricing and we continue the conversation. And then we lasted like hour and a half more. And we went all over the place, right? Like, you know, from Venezuela to like raising kids to, you know, comedians to, you know, crazy events in our lives, different things, right? And it was like really engaging for me as a guest and for him. Like, he kept him like excited about creating, right? And then after the conversation, that was like a fun debrief, because we're like, dude, Tom, like, this is the direction that you need to take your show. Like, if you don't enjoy creating, why creating in the first place, right? And I think a lot of people start in a place of like, I'm just going to create because I need to, because everybody's telling me to do it for my business, because everybody needs to have a podcast, right? And then they forget that we actually have to enjoy the creation, right? For us, podcasting is the vehicle because we love it, right? We adore, and we can do a bunch of stuff and we can talk about it. It's not censored in many ways. But for somebody else, a different creation method, they might enjoy a little bit more than just podcasting. So I encourage everybody that's listening, if it's podcasting, great. If it's not, find your medium on how do you enjoy creation. And I think, you know, what you brought up is like the personality levers or content and delivery, like those are gonna be better if you're actually enjoying what you're doing, right? So you clearly enjoy what you're doing. And you have,
yeah.
Go ahead.
And when you first start off, that's what I always say. When you're first starting out, you're not going to like your voice. That's a science thing. It's kind of weird, but when you talk, you actually hear part of your voice through your skull. So if you talk and put your fingers on your forehead, you'll feel where it's vibrating, and that adds bass to your voice. So when you then listen back through speakers, the only thing you're using are your ears. And so many people are like, ugh, is that what I sound like? And so get used to that. There's nothing you can do about it. And, you know, as a musician, like, the minute I learned how to play a C chord, I didn't go out on the street and go, hey, give me money, I'll play you C. It's not the way it works. So you know, actors have, you know, dress rehearsals, authors have, you know, rough drafts, and athletes have preseason. Usually that first episode, unless you worked with a team or somebody who knows what they're doing, is not something you want to put out to the public. So keep practicing a little bit until you do feel comfortable, because nobody wants you to do something you don't like.
Question.
Wait, one second. I'm going to share a story.
Okay, no, hold on. Can I ask a question first? All right.
Question.
Have you ever encountered somebody that actually likes their voice on their microphone for the first time?
No.
I don't think so. That's the story I was going to show. Like, you just met the first one. I'm not going to lie. Every time I think of this story and every time I share this story.
We're not relatable.
I feel so narcissist, dude, every time I share this story, but...
You gotta be proud of your assets, Fonzie.
I mean, I'm proud of it. But, Dave, I'm not kidding you. So, before Content is Profit, we attempted to start a different show. It was called Bruce and Bros. And we would sit down to talk about marketing. So, first of all, terrible name.
But we were learning, yeah.
Yeah, for the show that we were creating. And we bought the equipment, the Rodecaster, and we had at the home studio, we got like the Procasters, like very nice equipment, because in our mind we're, you know, if we make the investment, right, talking about, you know, pricing and perception, if we make the investment, we're gonna commit to this and we're gonna create on the long term. So we hooked everything up, we set it up, we sit down, it's like, all right, let's see how it goes. We talk and we're like, we look at each other and our first words are literally like, damn, we sound good. And it was hilarious because obviously we, just like you, right? Everybody would say, oh, I hate my voice. I hate the way I sound. And we're like, why do they hate how they sound? We sound so good. This is so cool. And now
is this how my wife listens to me? She's so lucky.
And now, you know, every time this story comes up, I feel the need to share the story, but at the same time, I'm like, I feel so narcissist every time I share.
No, well, there you go. That's great. You know, it really is. Yeah, my ex-wife, I tried to do a podcast with her, and we did about 3 episodes, and she's like, I can't take it. And I go, why? She goes, I just hate my voice. And I said, okay. And I said, have you ever been on the phone, you're having a normal conversation, and somebody just hangs up on you? And she's like, no. And I go, exactly. Your voice is fine. Yeah. So it's we get hypercritical of ourselves.
Yeah,
so.
I like that way. I like that like, perspective.
Now you know what I've been going through.
That's why I'm always asking you to shut up, honey. Yeah, exactly.
By the way, full discussion with our wives.
I feel like if it wasn't, you know, if it's not like this character from Friends, what's her name? Chandler. Yeah, the girl.
Monica.
Not Monica.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Janice.
You know, if it's not Janice, everything is acceptable. But
oh my God.
Yeah. Janice was intense. Every time she would come up, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can hold on to this. Dave, yeah. I had a, you know, from the very beginning, a very specific topic I wanted to talk about with you.
He's like, make sure we talk about this. It's like, make sure you put it like bald in the notes.
You know, there's this concept we learned in a conference a few years ago. And actually, I haven't heard it. It's not about podcasting. It was about funnels, right? And the guy called it funnel real estate. And it was interesting. Pretty much, he was saying you build so many funnels that eventually you have a whole lot of different kind of like income streams coming from those funnels. And our associative minds were thinking, how can we apply this to podcasting, right? And we started thinking, podcast real estate, right? And then we started looking, and some people had multiple shows. And I don't think they probably created it with that mindset of, I'm going to have a lot of shows in case people search for my name, they see all this authority. Like, what is the thought behind that? So one of the things that I do is when we're going to get a guest in here, I look for their name, because obviously it's going to show up episodes they guest in that I can listen to, or their shows. In your case, there's a lot of shows. There's a lot of podcasting real estate. And I was curious because I started looking into some of those. I was like, okay, when were the last time those were updated, right? Like how often does he record? And you have one that is called Best Podcasting Gear that I think you do once a year. Right, and I think you update it, and I was like, this is actually pretty genius because somebody can come in and they're like, oh, look, this is the new equipment that is from this year. Let me check it out, right? And they might just be looking for that very specific thing. You have your podcast consultant, right? You have Profit from Your Podcast, which is the book that you have in there as well. As the podcast coach, podcast rodeo show. This one is my favorite, Building a Better Dave, right? Where you, it's pretty much like a personal journal that you go in there and you make your reflection. I think that was absolutely amazing. So I'm curious, did you make a conscious decision to build podcast real estate, or that has just been something along the way that you have created, and what has been the benefit of having, you know, your name in so many shows?
Yeah, Ask the Podcast Coach was me playing with a horrible system called Blog Talk Radio. And I started it and was like, wow, this is horrible technology. And then I went to a thing called Blab, which is now out of business. We were using StreamYard for many years. I still love StreamYard, but I just started using Ecamm Live. So it's me playing with Live, because Live is a completely different beast.
Yeah.
But I was going to cancel that show. I was like, all right, I've learned that Blog Talk Radio is horrible. And then somebody said, no, man, you're the new Saturday morning cartoons. Like, don't quit your show. This is what I watch while I'm eating my cereal. Because I picked Saturday at 10:30 in the morning because at the time my wife was still asleep. So there was no conflict. So there's that one. Podcast Rodeo Show was me testing out another media host. Because for a while there were, I don't know, six or seven. Now there's like a gazillion.
Yeah.
But a new one had come on. I'm like, all right, I want to test out this new media host, but I don't have any time to do another podcast.
Yeah.
So the Podcast Rodeo Show is a great, first of all, it's a horrible name because everybody thinks it's about the rodeo. I added a tagline, but it's me grabbing a random podcast. I listen to it and then just talk over it. I'm like, okay, your music's too loud. I can't hear you here. Why is the air conditioner on while you're doing your podcast? Oh, I really like that. That was a great story. So that one, it was another one. I was going to quit it. And people were like, no, you're actually saying what everybody else is thinking. So a lot of these were tests. Your podcast consultant was, I wonder what would happen if I did a short show. So all those episodes are 9 minutes or less. And the answer is, it's not the length that draws people in. It's the content. So I do that show like twice a month. The one about podcast gear, I kind of do whenever, like I'm going to do one about the new Shure SM7DB that just came out. So when something new hot comes out, I'll talk about that. But that was another one that, like, that one's on Blueberry because I kind of have a show on every media host. So if somebody goes, hey, I want to launch this show, I'm on this thing, how do I do this? I can go, hold on, wait, which show was that? And then I could look into it.
That's interesting.
But the thing about having your name, I've had people that have signed up for the School of Podcasting that said, well, I Googled podcasting and like your name is all over the place. So I figure you must be the guy. So that wasn't by design.
Yeah.
I'd like to say it was, but it was just me playing with stuff. And then you have enough. And I always introduce myself as I'm Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.
Yeah.
So that's the flagship.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, definitely this one is your flagship, right? School of Podcasting. Yeah. And we've talked about that, right? Content is Profit is our flagship at the moment. And we've talked about having shows. We want to kind of like
explore different things.
Explore different topics, different have different conversations, and, you know, build a network of amazing people outside of the podcasting world as well. So we've been thinking about having a different flagship show. But then you have these other little shows, right, that you can build that when people, for example, I love how I think is Buzzsprout. They have How to Start a Podcast. And that's it. Like, their podcast is called How to Start a Podcast. And I think they just released like 12 episodes or so. And that's it. But obviously, it's a pretty high search term that, you know, people are going to look how to start a podcast. That one is going to pop in there. So, you know, as a consultant, right, if you have a business, what are those search terms that maybe you can do a limited series of? You can put it out as a podcast, and now you have podcast real estate.
That's it. Everybody thinks it's this podcast is never going to end. It you can very easily, like they just did, 12 episodes, 6 episodes, cover the one topic, position yourself as an expert, and then move on to something else.
Yeah, I think it's very exciting also in the world that we live in, right? Like, thinking about multi-purposing, not only in the content aspect, like it, not only like micro content from your show, but it's like, okay, this asset that I just created, how can it help me in helping my audience, right? It could be, we have somebody reach out the other day for, hey, do you know a platform for like private audio, right? It could be a limited series that's just like hidden for X amount of benefit, or it could be like the 12 series and somebody is in your sales process, for example, right? And then you can send them that as added value for them to learn a little bit more about it, right? And I'm thinking about like, what role is your content playing in your process? Like if you're a for-profit company, like if you're entertaining, like how can you add more value to your people, right? So I think that's a conversation that a lot of people might not, you know, it's one of those things like, I don't know when I don't know that I don't know, right? Because, you know, we're in this medium and we're still, you know, exploring these concepts, right? But I think it's super interesting and it's super exciting for a lot of businesses.
Yeah, and you have to, it comes back to your why. So if my why is I want to keep my brand in front of people, maybe I'll do a show 3 times a week, yeah. Real quick thing. Like I'll give you an example. I don't remember the name of the show. I just remember it was brought to you by the Association of Christian Athletes. That's all I remember. And they had that, and the guy's name was Jimmy Page. And every time he said that, I'd be like, from Led Zeppelin? Like, wait, really? But it was just this quick little like, do you know carrots are good for you? Blah, blah, blah. Carrots, eyesight, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Brought to you by the Association of Christian Athletes. So that's a way to keep your brand in it. But if I'm trying to position myself as an expert, now I want to do maybe a 20-minute deep dive and look at how much I know about this subject, blah, 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 and then you position yourself as an expert. I work at Libsyn, and the reason I work at Libsyn is because my basic podcast was used as a resume, and also I build my network through that. People always say, should I do a solo show or a network show? And I'm like, why are you limiting it? Do both. Because when you do a solo show, you increase your influence with the people that listen. When you do a interview show, you grow your network. So do both. And so it really does kind of boil down to like, why am I doing this? And then how are you going to measure it? I know I'd be like, how do you measure it? Downloads, duh. Not really. For me, I measure my success on how many people signed up for my membership. So every January, everybody says, I'm going to drop 40 pounds and start a podcast. So my numbers go through the roof. And then in February, just like gym memberships, they go down. But my membership goes up. So if I was basing my success on downloads, I'd be depressed in February because my numbers take a dip. But I'm not. I'm ecstatic because my membership side is going up.
Absolutely. I love this. By the way, Dave, we have to do like part two and part three because there's so many so many lessons here, obviously. But I think, you know, today with like podcasting real estate, that's an awesome concept. And I encourage everybody, Google Dave's name, and you're going to see like what we're talking about, right? And he did say like he discovered by accident, but I think there's a big lesson there on like, especially like if that's your brand that you want to be growing, or your influence, your trust. I love the fact of solo versus interviews. Why don't you do both, right? Like we just open like another possibility, right? And reduce the friction on creating. And obviously we're going to leave all your links right below, Dave. So people might be reaching out with questions. Feel free to go there. I'm curious, right? Like last questions on the show, but where will you be right now if you never started publishing?
That is a spooky question. I'd probably still be in a band, although I don't know about that. You know, I don't know. It would be interesting to see because it scratches every itch I have, right? It's kind of technical, at least it was when I started. You can be as creative as you want. And for me, I can help people. And so that's my three, like that's my jam on every level. So I don't know what I would be doing without it. Cause once I found it, when I started, I'm in Nowhere, Ohio, and I'm doing this podcast for musicians, and a guy sends me a voicemail. His name was Michael Van Laar from Nuremberg, Germany. And I'm in the, I'm next to the cows out in Ohio. And he's like, hello, David, this is Michael Van Laar from Nuremberg, Germany. And I just was like, did he say Nuremberg, Germany? And I was like, and it took me a second to figure out like, wait, there's some guy on the other side of the planet in 2005 that found my show, and not only found it, but likes it. And I was like, I just grabbed my flag. I'm like, I claim podcasting in the name of Dave. I'm like, this is where I'm going to plant my, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. And people go, well, have you ever wanted to quit? You've been doing this for 18 years. And I'm like, no, there are shows that I've quit because the musician show I did for 10 years. And after a while, I was like, I think I've said everything there is to say about this, you know, follow me at the School of Podcasting. And I've started shows that didn't work that I thought, like I started a show called The Customer Service Show because that was one of my backgrounds. And I did about 6 episodes and I was like, oh, this is what I do. It's not who I am. And I was after about 7 episodes, it was just me being grumpy. I went to the store today and somebody, well, let's listen to Dave complain for 7 minutes. That's fun. So I've started probably 30 different shows and some of them they were all some sort of learning, item that I was just like, oh, I just learned that. Like I did a show called The Dates from Hell Show where I wanted people to share their really awful dating experiences. And I was like, oh, if you're doing a show based on your audience, it would be helpful. Like, I don't know if you had one. And so we had started off, we didn't have an audience. So like, hey, send in your stuff. And like, yeah, 13 people are listening and none of them have a story. So thanks. So they're all, I always say when you start a podcast, you're either going to end up with a great podcast or a great story about that time when you started a podcast.
Yeah. Wow. I love this. I love the fact that you remember the name of the first person that reached out to you.
Yeah, I still have I'm so mad. I have like the first minute of that voicemail somewhere, but I don't have the whole thing. I don't know why. I think I made a clip of it to play in another show and yeah. I went to find the full one, but I emailed him when in 2018 when I got inducted into the Hall of Fame. I'm like, dude, you're half the reason I'm in this. So thanks so much for sending that voicemail.
Wow. Yeah. Did he answer by any chance?
Yeah. Yeah, he's still really into music, and he sent me this music that he composed for his wife to walk down the aisle to. He's he's all grown up now. So, yeah,
that's awesome.
He's a good guy.
That is cool.
That's awesome.
It's impressive to be able to see right the impact that you can have in somebody's life, even as minimal as it can be. The fact that he reached out is pretty remarkable.
Let me share you the most remarkable story, and I'll try to do this quickly. But I said in a podcast somewhere that sometimes starting a podcast can give your life a little bit of a purpose because I have a lot of people that have retired. They're kind of on the older scale, but they have tons of information and they want to do something with it. I'm like, well, this can kind of give you a purpose. So I had a guy that had lost his friend of like 20 years suddenly. He lost his job of 20 years suddenly. Wow. And his favorite holiday was Halloween, and he decided he was going to take his gun and blow his brains out on Halloween because he lost his friend, he lost his job. Oh, and he thought he had cancer. And he said, I found your show. And he goes, I decided to start a podcast instead. And he goes, I just want to let you know, I basically think you saved my life. And it's hard to make Dave Jackson speechless, but that one made me speechless because I'm like, I'm in the basement next to a water heater, talking into a microphone to nobody at the time. It's 2005. And this guy sending me a thing that says, hey, I credit you with saving my life. And I'm like, I'm talking about bandwidth and microphones. Wow. But you never know the impact you're going to have on people.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a very cool story, man. And thank you.
It's a big responsibility stepping in front of a mic and sharing your message.
Well, it is. I had a guy once, I was doing consulting and I said, what gear do you have? And he had this and this, and he had a Rode Pod mic or a Rode PodTrack P4 recorder. And then he bought the Rodecaster Pro, which is like $600. I go, wait, why do you have two of those? He goes, oh, you said it was cool. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, so that's when I was like, I realized that the microphone does have a little bit of power. So anytime I talk about gear, I'm like, if you have this, you don't need this because apparently if I say it's cool, people will go buy it. And I was like, holy cow.
It's so like, where's my commission?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. That's cool.
That's awesome, man. I really appreciate it. And I think I want to encourage everybody creating, right? Like you might be changing one life, but and that's probably enough and exciting. And if you have a message, put it out there. Like you never know. Like we started with Facebook Lives, right? That was our thing. And
I mean, like they said, podcasting can give you, purpose. Yeah. So you can be changing even your own life. You never know.
But
yeah, you're right. The ideas in your head are not helping anybody, and the thing you recorded but never published on your hard drive is not helping anybody.
Absolutely.
And so the running gag at the School of Podcasting is nobody's going to punch you in the face because we're remote. But put it out there. You never know. What's the worst that could happen?
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dave, thank you so much. Fonzie, anything else you want to add?
I'm just going to add here that for part two, I'm going to ask you to play a riff. So just, so it doesn't surprise you.
Yes. All right.
If you can let me know what the riff is ahead of time, I'll play it. That'll be great.
I've seen you improvise. I've seen you at a, you've been the only person in my life I've ever seen at a karaoke that instead of grabbing the mic, picks up the guitar and shreds, and people are like, what the heck? This is awesome. It was so epic. I'm telling you, one of the most epic karaoke sessions I've seen in my life.
It was an epic moment. Yeah, not gonna lie. Thank you so much. With that said, thank you so much for tuning to the Content Profit Podcast. Go ahead and follow the show in your favorite podcasting platform and on social media at Biz Bros Co.
That is right on. If Dave here help you move one step closer towards your goal, please don't forget to share this episode and leave a 5-star review. See ya.
Bye, guys.